Alistair Campbell is with us this morning. Roger Helmer from UKIP is with us too. Roger, good morning to you.
Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning. Good morning, Alistair.
Hi, Stephen.
Good morning. We've been wondering today, Roger Helmer, where these promises are now that people have voted for us to leave Europe. Are the checks being written for the 50 million every day? being sent straight to the NHS?
Stephen, you know perfectly well that this depends on our leaving the European Union. We have voted to leave the European Union, but with the best will in the world, we will not leave it for at least 2 years under the Article 50. Yeah,
I also know perfectly well that your leader has said it was a mistake. He happened to tell us that after the vote.
You're referring to the 350 figure.
Correct.
Because there was a dispute, and there has been a dispute, as we know, over whether we should have quoted the gross figure or the net figure. But in fact, the gross figure is a sensible place to start. The British government will have to pay out, for example, farm subsidies and a whole range of other things to replace what Europe has been.
Well, the controversy now is it all going to the NHS? Because the DUP, colleagues of yours insofar as they are Leave campaigners as well, don't think that they see themselves as colleagues in any other way, but they're now saying no. Well, it's not all going, despite the poster that says it is going to the NHS, it would go to the NHS, they're now saying, no, a bit of it will go to the NHS because other money would go to agriculture and elsewhere.
Well, one of the things we have to clarify, Stephen, is this, that there is a difference between a general election where you are trying to be elected as a government and a referendum where you're trying to get a particular result. The Leave campaign...
Particular result by putting up posters that aren't true.
The Leave campaign is not forming a government. Now, it may be that Boris Johnson becomes Prime Minister, in which case you are perfectly entitled to put those questions to him and say, why hasn't the government done these things which you promised during the referendum? But in fact, the government is, and the Chancellor make the decisions about where to spend the money. The Leave campaign has said the money will become available if we don't send it to Brussels, and it can be spent on the National Health Service, or on reducing VAT on domestic fuel, or on all the other good things that we want to do.
All this talk, Alistair, of rerunning a referendum is embarrassing, isn't it? The Remain campaigners should dry their eyes. They've lost.
Well, it's not nearly as embarrassing as people who fought on a pack of lies and are now running away from them as fast as they can. And people who, every single one of these Leave people, Boris Johnson, Mr. Helmer now, Daniel Hannan, who's bottled out of coming on the programme, all these other people, it's like they've sort of set fire to a building and now they're running around hoping that somebody else will come and put the fire out. The reality is they were voted for and they deliberately got people to vote for them by making them think two things principally. One, we would get all this money back and it would go to the National Health Service. And the reality is, as Mr. Helmer knows, we're going to have less money because they're in the process of doing fundamental damage to our economy.
I don't know that, Alistair.
Let them finish.
And the second point is that they said that they're going to bring down the numbers of immigrants coming in, and they're now making clear. I mean, I wouldn't ask anybody to waste money on buying the Daily Telegraph, which has been part of the Brexit lie machine. But if you Google Boris Johnson's article in the Telegraph today, you talk about lying to win and then trying to wriggle out of the lies now. If that man becomes Prime Minister, this country is finished as a serious country. And so when you say, Stephen, that it's, people crying over the result and get on with it, you're probably right that it's going to be very difficult to have a second referendum. But do not imagine that between now and when this process of divorce between Europe and the European Union and the UK is finished, there will not be an awful lot of people who will be confronted by realities from what they've done that they had no idea they were voting for.
It's too late.
It may well be too late, but it's... And isn't it extraordinary? We talk about...
Some people might have regretted voting for Tony Blair, but it was too late. He was there.
Well, he won three times, so I think we can put that one to one side. And also, I think the other thing I would say about it being too late is that this is, I mean, I accept, you know, the people of the United Kingdom have expressed their view. They've given their instructions to the political class to get on with it and make it work. I'm simply saying that between now and when it happens, I think an awful lot of things can take place. Now, the reality is we're heading, and we warned this was going to happen, we are hurtling over a cliff, and We just don't know what's going to happen.
Well, if we talk ourselves over the cliff, we're going over the cliff. George Osborne, the prominent Remain campaigner, was out this morning, very early this morning, Alistair, reassuring the markets. He's the same man that told us we would need an emergency budget if there was a Leave campaign. Now he's telling us we don't need it.
He's doing his best to try to calm the markets. The reality is we probably are heading to a period certainly of massive economic instability, but possibly of real economic damage. And listen, Stephen, yes, the vote has happened, but don't expect me to suddenly say I think it was the right decision, because I really don't. And I think actually we've done ourselves incredible damage. And I will carry on saying that. You know, I thought we were living in an era where people were meant to say what they think. I will say what I think. I think that people like Mr. Helmer and Boris Johnson and all the rest of them, to be fair to Mr. Helmer, he's always believed this. Boris Johnson and Michael Gove in particular, latching themselves onto this, using the lies that they told about Turkey, about the National Health Service.
Hang on. About Turkey. Army. Which lies were they, Alistair?
Turkey is joining the European Union.
And the accelerated accession talks are happening this week. Did the Remain side tell us that?
Did people who saw your posters of people coming over borders from Syria and Slovenia with the clear message that they were heading to Britain, the people who saw posters saying Turkey is joining the European Union, backed up by interviews saying that this was happening and this flood of Turks is going to come here, do you think they may have thought that this was happening in a rather quicker process?
How much, Roger Helmer, will immigration now fall?
You're asking me to make a forecast. Stephen. The fact is, I can't make that forecast.
I'm not asking for exact figures. I'm asking for rough percentages. So your party's got its way. Will immigration fall at all?
Immigration will fall if we complete the process that the people have voted for and we leave the European Union. I would, for once, agree with David Cameron. David Cameron set a target of tens of thousands. I think that was a target that was a reasonable target. I criticise him for failing to achieve it. I think that is the sort of level we should be looking at.
Daniel Hannan was on my television show, one of the most prominent Leave campaigners there was. Here's what he told Nick Robinson on Friday about reducing immigration. Have a listen to this.
I keep hearing this thing about built-up expectations. We've never said that there is going to be some radical decline, that we're going to shut the door, let alone that the status of anyone already here is going to be affected. I mean, that's completely off the table.
You think the people who voted yesterday thought, actually, what they immigration wanted, won't really change?
No, what they wanted was control. What they wanted was some sense that ultimately we are in charge of roughly who comes in and roughly in what numbers.
That's a theoretical concept, you'll say.
I have been on that campaign trail longer than almost anyone. I've been making this speech to audiences all over, and at every one I say, look, if you think that anyone's going to, you know, if you think we're going to be getting rid of Polish barmaids or airlifting pensioners from the Costas, forget it. And people understand that. They're mature skeptical voters.
So it was all about control, Roger, was it? It wasn't about reducing immigration, it was about controlling it.
Dan Hannan is exactly right. That is what he said through the campaign. That is almost word for word what I said through the campaign. That is what we all said through
the campaign. So you didn't infer to people that immigration would drop, decrease drastically?
Now, he's been reported as having denied that immigration will drop. He didn't deny that immigration would drop. He denied that we would send Polish barmaids home.
Well, he denied that it would drop drastically, and he is saying
they're abused in the streets instead.
Well, he denied that we were going to pull up the drawbridge and stop immigration. I deny that too, and we all have. So the idea that this is at variance with what we said and what we promised, what we have promised is we will get control, we will reduce the numbers, and those are the things that we will do.
Stephen, can I ask a question here? Can I ask Mr. Helmer, how does he square that with Boris Johnson in the Daily Telegraph today saying that nothing that's happened will stop British people being able to go and live and work and settle in the rest of the European Union? How does that square?
That is his opinion. I understand what he means. I have gone and lived and worked in countries all over the world, including America and Southeast Asia.
If there's nothing to stop us going to work in the European Union, How are we going to stop people from the European Union coming to work, live and work here? I don't understand the logic. Well,
you're asking me to justify Boris's opinion. I think
you've just said he's going to be the next Prime Minister. Helped him become the next Prime Minister.
Well, he's not in my party, you may have noticed.
Yes, I have, but you're both marching to the same drum.
I think that we will reject unskilled immigrant applications from European countries, and I suspect that European countries will respond in a broadly reciprocal way.
So it's not true that we, the British people from Northern Ireland, will be able to go and live and work in the rest of the European Union. It's not true.
If they have skills that meet the requirements. I mean, we're now speculating about
That's
what...
That's not
might
what Boris said. He didn't say if they meet the requirements, did he?
He said nothing changes.
Well, I'm sorry, but if you want to talk to Boris about it, you better invite Boris on the show. I'm telling you what I believe and what the Remain side said during the campaign.
Do you believe freedom of movement for Labour will continue, Roger Helmer?
Absolutely not. It's absolutely one of the things that people...
Daniel Hannan said it would.
Well, not in the clip that you just played me, he didn't, and I don't believe he would have done, because stopping freedom of movement...
He did. Well, Google Evan Davis, Dan Hannan on Newsnight the other night. It's exactly what he said. There will be free movement of Labour.
Well, I'm sorry, but you tell me that. I haven't heard him say it. I don't believe he said it, and he certainly wasn't in the clip you just played me.
Alistair Campbell, this scenario that some people are talking about, where for those on the Remain side, there can be a second chance... people in Scotland, for example, people in Northern Ireland can somehow veto the UK leaving the EU. Do you think that's possible?
I think it's unlikely. But what I do think is likely is that what Mr. Helmer, who I assume was pro-union during the Scottish referendum, I don't know, but most of the people on the right of British politics were.
We are the United Kingdom Independence Party. The clue is in the name.
Exactly. Well, David Cameron is a Conservative and Unionist, and he's going to be the Prime Minister, and you're going to be the party that's going to help break up the Union. Fantastic. Well done. Nicola Sturgeon...
That is your opinion, but it's not an opinion which I share.
No, it's not an opinion. It's an assessment of the situation we are now in, where Nicola Sturgeon, who is about the one leader showing leadership at the moment, she is perfectly entitled, in my view, now... to put to the Scottish people the proposition that was in her manifesto for the last Scottish parliamentary elections. And you're already seeing in Scotland a rush of people who voted no last time who would vote yes if it means they can stay in the European Union.
And the European Union has made it absolutely clear that Scotland cannot simply sashay into into European Union membership after Britain has left.
And I'm saying...
To reapply, it would have to adopt the euro.
And
when they think about that, they will not make that decision.
And I am saying that we are in such uncharted territories that none of these questions... The answers to none of these questions are clear. What is clear... is that since Friday, you and your people have had no plan whatsoever. The government has had no plan B whatsoever.
Well, Stephen Cameron's job to have a plan. He's the Prime Minister.
We do have a plan. You keep saying we don't have a plan. Of course we have a plan. The plan is to implement Article 50, to leave the European Union, and then to negotiate...
Is your plan to stay in the single European market, Roger?
Well... The single European market is an old-fashioned customs union overlaid by gross over-regulation.
Is it your plan to stay in it?
No, I don't plan to stay in it.
UKIP's policy to stay in it or get out of it?
No, our policy is to become an independent country and to negotiate a free trade agreement. The European Union has free trade agreements with a couple of dozen countries around the world, and the Remainers always come back and say, well, we'll be like Norway.
Okay.
No, we won't be like Norway. We'll be like an independent nation.
With so many other people to get on here, Alistair Campbell, final question to you. Is Jeremy Corbyn toast?
Well, I think it's pretty difficult when you've got most of the Shadow Cabinet, dozens more front benches today, resigning. And the reality is, I think what a lot of Labour Party people are saying, including a lot of the people who joined to make Jeremy Corbyn leader, is that he can't lead. And we're heading into a situation... I mean, the country... Don't underestimate the scale of the crisis this country is heading to at the moment. And we are going to...
Bring us down again, Alistair.
Can I finish? We're going to need good political leadership. We're not going to get it from numpties like Nigel Farage. We're not going to get it from Boris Johnson, who's gone to ground in the last 24 hours. We're unlikely to get it from... I think David Cameron, I understand why he announced what he did the other day, but the government there's a vacuum at the heart of government. And the Labour Party may be facing a general election. And as things stand, there is absolutely no chance of Jeremy Corbyn being voted as Prime Minister by the British people.
Should he resign, Alistair?
Well, he shouldn't. Of course he should, because he can't do the job. The reason all these people are resigning is because they've seen close up that he cannot leave.
Look at the grassroots support he has. Look at
He does have a lot of grassroots support, and these are people, I'm afraid, a lot of them, who think that politics and the Labour Party began when they joined it after Ed Miliband resigned.
Well, one of the men who did resign, Vernon Coker, is joining us now. Vernon, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Shadow Secretary of State for Northern Ireland until yesterday, Vernon. Why did you walk?
Well, I spent 9 or 10 months in Jeremy Corbyn's cabinet because I respected the mandate that he'd had, but with the loss of the EU referendum and the failure of, in my view, the leader's campaign as vigorously as he could and to be believed by people that he was credible on the European Union, the prospect of a general election in the next few months, and the fact that millions of our traditional supporters seem to be questioning their loyalty to the Labour Party. We either acted now or we continued to walk towards what I would regard as a cataclysmic result for the Labour Party, and I wasn't prepared to do that. And I'm very sorry and sad to be leaving Northern Ireland at the same time.
It's not his fault that the referendum was won by the Leave campaign.
I think that, of course, it was not just his fault, but I do think that in a lot of the areas that I went to, people actually questioned whether the leader of the Labour Party was campaigning as vigorously as he could, but also they were questioning his credibility. He'd spent decades questioning the European Union, a sceptic to his core, and then when he changed as leader of the party, people just felt that that wasn't the real Jeremy, and he was just saying it because he had to. And as I say, he hasn't got the authority, he hasn't got that credibility that's needed for the Labour Party if it's to be that alternative government, but also to restore confidence among the traditional communities that Labour looked to support it, which we seem to have lost.
Marcino Mueller from Sinn Féin was saying this morning that there is a crisis now facing Northern Ireland. Do you share his view?
Well, there's turmoil across the UK. There are constitutional implications which are difficult to see how they're going to be played out, but they certainly raise different issues. We don't really know what's going to happen with respect to the markets. We've seen difficulties already on the stock market and the pound. There are problems within the Conservative Party. There are questions within the Labour Party. So clearly there's turmoil right across the UK. But during the referendum campaign, I spoke to you, Stephen, and many other people about some of the particular issues around the border, but business and movement of people and movement of goods. And those issues, the Leave campaign has simply haven't been able to answer. And we're
How do you think Northern Ireland leaving the EU will directly affect Northern Ireland?
Well, personally, it raises questions about what it means. The border, for example, becomes a border between Northern Ireland and the EU, the UK and the EU, and it's not clear what the implications for that border are. And as I've said, are we still to have access to the single market? That requires freedom of movement. And yet those who leave say we want a harder border. Now, they can't have it both ways. They can't demand a harder border and then say, oh, no, we won't have a harder border. I mean, it's just so unclear. It's no wonder that people really do sort of speculate on what may or may not happen.
Sammy Wilson's listening to this from the DUP. Harder border control, Sammy.
Well, you know, we had this argument during the referendum campaign, Stephen. We had the Irish government saying that they would insist on the common travel area and would ensure that the common travel area continued to exist. The British government said the same. Northern Ireland Assembly has said the same. So, you know, the arrangements will be are in place for the free movement of people at present. The Irish Republic is not a backdoor to the United Kingdom at present, and it will not be a backdoor in the future. So, you know, this whole border issue is one of those red herrings which was thrown up during the campaign, and people were not able to say with certainty how this hard border was going to arise, or indeed whether it would arise. All we do know is the evidence of the people who would be involved in putting it in place is that they are going to resist any hard border.
Spell out for us, Sammy, what the DUP actually wants. Does it want the UK to remain part of the single European market?
We want to ensure that as a result of the negotiations which will now take place, that the UK has access to the European Union for the sale of our goods, and equally...
Does the DUP want us to be part of the single European market?
No, we don't want to be part of the single European market. We don't need to be part of the single European market. What we need to do is to negotiate a trade deal which ensures that our goods have access to the EU. And equally, of course, the EU will want to have access to our country. And I mean, Stephen, you always put this question in terms of what do we want from the EU? The question is equally true. What does the EU need from us? Because we're a bigger market for them than they are for us.
And if the price...
And that's the approach that we should be
making. And if the price, Sammy...
In these negotiations...
If the price, Sammy, is free movement of labour, is that a price worth paying?
Well, let me put the question around the other way round. What price are EU companies prepared to pay to ensure that the 6.5 million people who are currently tied up in selling goods to the UK, what price are they prepared to pay to have continued access to our market? These negotiations work both ways. And instead of going as some kind of supplicant, cap in hand to a vassal, as a vassal state to these some powerful rulers in Europe, we should be going and saying, you have more to lose than we have. Let's sit down and talk sensibly about this and make sure that you have access to our markets, we have access to your markets, and let's come to sensible arrangements.
Steve Aiken from the Ulster Unionist Party, are you suggesting to people that there might be an opt-out clause for the population of Northern Ireland?
No, I don't think so, and I think very clearly the British people have spoken. But we also need to be very cognizant of the fact that Northern Ireland has also spoken as well. But I think one of the major issues we need to be looking at now is what we're going to do going forward. And I think just today, listening to the programme and also watching what's been happening to the stock market and bearing in mind that shares have been suspended in RBS and Barclays for a period of time, we've lost $10 billion off the banks we are in at the moment. We need to be looking now for a stimulus package to be able to Northern Ireland to weather the forthcoming storm. And I don't want to talk down the situation, but we are moving into a crisis mode. And we need to be in a position where we can get the best benefit for Northern Ireland, particularly in the economy, in jobs, and be able to get us in a position where we can continue.
Well, where do we get that money from? Where do we get that special money from?
Well, let's have a look at it. It's not from a special money tree. The governor of the Bank of England is talking about $250 billion of quantitative easing is being put into the system. We're moving into a different situation at the moment. We need to be in a position where we can go and argue to get stimulus package to enable us to do things. We need to be able to bring things like corporation tax in early. We need to be able to stimulate our economy. We need to be able to make sure our own companies are able to work and work hard.
Okay, Daniel Bannerman, Conservative MEP. David Bannerman. What's your message to Daniel Hannan on my mind? What's your message to the Eastern European people, David, who have set up home in the likes of Northern Ireland, who now live and work here?
Well, I think the first message is don't worry, because we're not throwing people out who are living, working here in Northern Ireland, in the UK. That's not part of our message. Any visa scheme would be applied once we leave the European Union. People would apply for visas like in Australia, like in Canada.
Daniel, Stephen here.
For access.
Daniel, Stephen here. Could you, much the same
David,
way that Sadiq...
David.
Oh, sorry, David. Could the way that Sadiq Khan made a statement to the people of London about how he values the people... Could the Brexit campaigners make a statement across all the people to all the people of the United Kingdom that all the workers are very valued and are very important, and make that very clear now?
I think they have. I mean, Boris Johnson's article today was useful, but I will certainly press them to do that, because obviously there's quite a lot of uncertainty. We accept that, but this is a big change. It's a bit like moving house, I think. But we'll have more space and better outlook once we've moved.
I think it's a bit more serious than just moving.
Okay. Listen, unfortunately, we've run out of time. Just before we do go, Vernon Coker, I want to give you an opportunity to, as you walk away from the people of Northern Ireland for your own reasons, what you would like to say about your time here.
Well, Stephen, thank you very much for that opportunity. And
Let me just say this. I may be moving jobs and leaving the jobs that that I've had, but I'm certainly not going to walk away from Northern Ireland. The people have been fantastic. All of the politicians, including those I've disagreed with, have been great, and I've enjoyed discussing things with the media, including your show. So I shall maintain a huge interest in Northern Ireland. I'll go to Northern Ireland questions. I will retain interest, and I hope to visit and see the continuing beauty of the place astonishes me, and the continuing friendliness and welcome that you always get is something that if you're from Northern Ireland, you take for granted, but it's been fantastic. And we've seen just with the football, haven't we, the fantastic fans from Ireland as well as Northern Ireland.
Thank you, Vernon. All the best in what you do in the future.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much.